Track 12, Eating Difficulties. On the last track, we discussed sleep adjustments. These have included vigilance, sleeping alone, refusal tactics, and night terrors. On this track, we will discuss eating difficulties, which adoptive children may experience. These will include picky eating, overeating, and undereating. Eating problems which adopted children may experience can range from simply adjusting to new tastes to serious disorders. Many children may pick food issues as their major control point. As any parent who has raised a child through toddlerhood knows, there is no way to control what enters or exits your child's body. If you force peas into your daughter's mouth, she can throw them right back, even more forcefully. This battle can be impossible to win. If your child feels the need to exert control over his or her life, eating is probably the easiest way to do it. Toby and Candace, both age 38, were the adoptive parents of Mai, age 9, from Vietnam. Candace stated, "Mai will only drink Coke and water, and forget juice. On occasion, she will drink diet, non-caffeinated stuff, forget fish sauce and anything typically Vietnamese. She didn't even eat it there in Vietnam. However, she'll eat fruit and cabbage 4 times a day, and noodles until she looks like one." Toby stated, "And she even sulks about the food she requests. Just yesterday, when Candace bought the ingredients to make a traditional Vietnamese dish, Mai stated, 'What? You bought this cabbage? I wanted another kind.' And then the world falls apart in anger for 30 or 40 minutes, and then Mai doesn't talk to whoever bought the food she doesn't like, only to eat it 2 days later. I stated, "First, let's discuss picky eating. Mai may be reeling from the loss of familiar foods, angry at all she left behind, and feeling like it's all out of her control. Fighting over food may feel like a safe way for Mai to vent anger and grief. If Mai is this combative over food, one of the best things you can do is to not make a battle for control. Some families are afraid of putting themselves into the position of cooking several different meals each night, but that doesn't have to happen. If Mai is displaying control issues through food, then you give her the control. You might let her shop with you and pick what she wants to eat. If Mai hates the food you make, and you feel she is old enough, you might let her prepare her own simple meals. If you don't feel comfortable letting Mai cook for herself, then you might let her eat fortified breakfast cereal for dinner or bread 3 times a day if you have to. Mai isn't likely to let herself starve, and by allowing her that measure of control, you may have made her world a little safer. This can possibly serve to free her up to work on her other feelings of grief and loss." I continued to state, "Problems sometimes arise simply from a difference in tastes. Mai may be used to eating a bland diet, while you serve spicy food. Or perhaps Mai is used to eating only a few comfort foods and has never tried much of what you have set before her. I have found that this pickiness can be especially true of international adoptees." I explained to Toby and Candace that families deal with these problems in a variety of ways. Some parents learn to cook dishes that are very important to their children. I stated, "This can be an excellent way to incorporate their culture and preferences into your home, and it emphasizes that the whole family, not just Mai, is changing because of the adoption. Profound differences in diet, however, can require moving a child's expectations and tastes to a healthier level." I stated, "Letting Mai accompany you to the store to help choose what to eat may be especially helpful if you're trying to change her diet preferences. Have you found, as I have, that children are often more willing to try something they have picked out themselves? Some families find that their biggest food issue is not really about food, but the way it is eaten." Candace and Toby also expressed concern over Mai's table manners. Toby stated, "Mai's table manners are virtually non-existent. She scarfs down her food in about 10 minutes flat, but insists on talking while she does it. I can only imagine what that must have been like for her in Vietnam." I stated, "If you can stand it, it may be better to let the problem slide at first. You will undoubtedly have larger issues to worry about. However, when you begin trying to change Mai's eating habits, try to keep in mind that it probably won't happen quickly. It can take months and sometimes years to teach even American toddlers good table manners. If Mai has never learned table manners before, it could take a long time." Second, Candace, Mai, and I discussed overeating. Many families report that their children ate voraciously when they first arrived, and some still do months or years later. Many children have never had enough to eat and will eat tremendous amounts of food as their bodies grow rapidly after their arrival. Many kids, however, eat voraciously not because they're hungry, but because they're trying to fill an emotional void. They may be experiencing feelings of emptiness from their losses and subconsciously be trying to fill that emptiness with food. It can be difficult to decide which type of voracious eating Maya is doing. Keep in mind that children who are underweight may need to eat more than normal. Also, teenagers can often eat a complete meal and be famished an hour later, and that is not abnormal for their age and growth patterns. Some children also eat just because it is offered, and they don't feel comfortable saying no. Of course, Mai did not seem to have difficulty with saying no. I stated, if you find that Mai is eating voraciously to fill emotional needs, try to help her to distinguish between physical and emotional hunger. You might control Mai's food intake by handing each person at the table a plateful of food, rather than passing food at the table. If Mai asks for more after she's clearly eaten enough, you might ask her, I wonder if you're really hungry, and suggest that a snuggle, hug, or back rub might feel better. Have you found, as I have, that adoptive children who have gone hungry and eat to fill emotional needs may hoard food? I have found, for many adopted children, the practice of hoarding may continue for years. Some families have put locks on the refrigerator or cabinets. For children whose food problems are troublesome, treating the underlying emotional causes may help. Some children still have difficulty with food-related issues even in adulthood, but to a lesser extent. Third, in addition to picky eating and overeating, Toby, Candace, and I discussed undereating. Some children don't want to eat much at all when they arrive. For some children, undereating is a result of their lack of familiarity with American foods. I stated, again, if you have this particular problem with Mai, your best bet is probably to have her accompany you to a store to pick out things she likes. Have you found, as I have, that adopted children may have trouble eating because of anxiety, fear, or sadness? I stated, if Mai is trying to hold in her grief over leaving a familiar place, she may constantly have a knot in her throat, or may be nauseated. If Mai has no appetite for a couple of days, try not to push her. Ask Mai if she has a favorite food or offer to cook something she likes. A temporary lull in eating may not be too worrisome, but you should seek the advice of Mai's doctor if it persists for any length of time. Do you have a Candace or a Toby who is struggling with their adopted child's diet? Might he or she benefit from hearing this track? On this track, we have discussed eating difficulties. These have included picky eating, overeating, and undereating. On the next track, we will discuss toileting problems. These will include different customs, bedwetting, the training technique, soiling, and intestinal difficulties. Question 12. What are three examples of eating difficulties that adoptive parents may face?